Welcome to the Cypress Baptist Church podcast. We're so glad to have you listening with us today. Here at Cypress, we are dedicated to reaching as many people with the gospel as possible. For more ways to engage or support our ministries, visit cypress.live.
Hey, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go to Thessalonians, take a right. You get to 2 Timothy, too far, take a left. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks as we're finishing up our series, Good Question. You guys, thank you for your super positive comments, and I've enjoyed it, I hope, and by your comments, you've enjoyed it. But man, I'm telling you, this has been a blast for me. We asked you at the end of the spring and the beginning of summer, if you could have 5-10 minutes with the pastor or really anybody and could ask us anything, what is it that you would ask us? What is it that you would want to know biblically as a part of this series? And so we've put it together and we titled it Good Question. And then we've been dealing with everything from heaven and hell and end times to Christology to Trinitology to all big words to say just who God is, about the Bible and all kinds of things. And so today we're going to shift in that, and we're going to move towards the next couple of weeks as we close this out, talking about more practical things. We got a lot of questions and really moving away from the theological, doctrinal, y'all had some good ones. I mean, everything from, you know, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons to all the way, who made God to where did God come from? Did God change it? I mean, tons of it. So great, thank you. And I've tried to answer as many as we could through this. But then we had an enormous amount of questions about purpose, about God's will for my life, about how do I know when I'm in God's will? How do I know God's will? What is God's plan? What is God's purpose for us? How do we find these out? How do we do that? How do I know I'm in God's will, preacher? I mean, we got a bunch of those. And so literally all the way down to, we got several from literally that were real simple and I don't know, most of them we got anonymously, but this one, there were a bunch of it just wrote, why am I here? I thought, that's simple, but really good. Why am I here? And so I'm going to talk to you over the next several weeks about your purpose. I want you to hear me say this. God made you and he made you with a purpose. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He literally, God created you for a purpose, and he has a plan for your life. He's not this distant God who just kind of morbidly sets everything in motion and then just sits back and just watches for entertainment. God has you, and he has a very distinct plan and purpose for you. And isn't that good news? Because remember, God knows everything, past, present, and future. There is no limit in anything to God. And God says, I have a plan and a purpose for you. It's a plan to bless you and to prosper you and not to harm you. Isn't that what the word says? So we understand that God has a plan for us. And then today we're going to talk about how we get that plan. We understand, and it starts with some very simple principles, that next, I want you to see that you were created by God to know God. We have to start there. So Paul is going to write to young Timothy. Paul is the apostle. Paul is the, remember he was Saul. He was a persecutor of the church on the road to Damascus, met Jesus, radically changed his life. He would go on to be the most influential person in the New Testament church on his missionary journeys, establishing churches at that time all over the known world and beyond. He's literally the one that took the torch and along with the other disciples. And we're literally, as they have passed that baton of the relay, we're carrying that same baton. But Paul would write to a young man by the name of Timothy. And Timothy was his protege. He was his, if Paul is the coach, he's the player. If Paul's the teacher, he's the student. If Paul is the discipler, he's the disciple. And Paul is writing to this young man, and he's giving him great advice, and he's literally discipling him And here we are 2,000 years later, and he's discipling us. It's the word of God discipling us, obviously. And Paul writes to him about what I want to talk to you about today. If you are going to know your purpose, you better start by getting your priorities straight. Did you hear that? I remember when I went to college at the University of Oklahoma. Don't talk about yesterday. Too soon. Just like I'm not bringing up anything else. Too soon. We want to enjoy worship. Amen. So whenever I went to the University of Oklahoma, I'm down there as a freshman. I did everything I wasn't supposed to do. Can I just leave it at that? This is pre-Jesus in my life. And you say, well, you had freedom. I had freedom when I was at home. If I just checked in about once a week at my house, I was good at my house, right? But then I go to college and found out that I could really excel at not being good. You know what I mean? And I remember coming home one weekend, and my dad, who love him, and he again, his biggest issue was don't get into trouble so I have to bail you out. But he literally, I came home one weekend and I was outside and he came out and he said, hey, let's talk for a minute, John. I said, okay. And he just began to share with me. And instead of a father-son deal, I never will forget as an 18-year-old kid, and I think I had just turned 18. I graduated, I was 17, then I turned 18 just before I left for college. And my dad came home and he literally set me down and he talked to me man to man. You know, give me that. It wasn't that father son, it was that man to man. And he was very kind and very gracious. And my dad was not a big man, but he could kill me at any moment, you know, type deal. And but this was different. He set me down and he looked at me man to man as a peer. And he said to me, son, and he talked to me about different things and decisions and life. It's about choices and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, Charlie Brown, adult on the phone type call, right? And then all of a sudden he said, hey, son, you better get your priorities straight. Now, he wasn't saying that to scold me or to do anything. He was looking at me man to man and saying, when you're a man and whenever you get this and you start growing up, you're gonna understand some things. And one of the things you better understand is you better get your priorities straight. And I remember looking at him and thinking about it and going, because I heard it. And it didn't really register and flesh out until like almost a year later and a lot of bruises, cuts, scars, and wounds. So I want to talk to you today about getting your priorities straight. And I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm saying it as a peer. I'm saying it as a, here we go. But the truth is, if you're going to have a purpose and you're going to know God's purpose for your life, you better start. One of the things that will reveal God's purpose in your life and one of the things that will hold you in God's purpose in your life is getting your priorities straight. Isn't that good? I'm just waiting for an amen or something. Okay, they're good. So Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 6. And about getting his priorities straight. Get your priorities straight. If you wouldn't mind standing in honor of the reading of the holy word of God, we stand just to say, this is the word of God. This doesn't contain the word of God. It is the word of God. It's the only book God ever wrote that's holy. Let me just say that. It's the only book God ever wrote, and it's the only book that's holy. Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 6. He's been talking to him about the apostasies and different things, but then he talks to him about good discipline, good discipleship. Verse 6, and pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But I have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for old women. No offense to anybody. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Bodily discipline is only of a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. Thank you. You may be seated. I love the ending there. It's a trustworthy statement of full acceptance. Now watch what Paul says to young Timothy is about getting his priorities straight, about understanding there are some things in life that God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. But in finding that out and staying in that, you'd better understand your priorities. Keep your priorities straight. He literally looks at him and he's training this young disciple and he says something very interesting to him. Now, I don't get bogged down in the language a lot with you guys. Not that it'd be bogged down, but it, sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, it's there. I look at it and things, but sometimes it's very important that we look at it because the language that the New Testament was written in was in Greek. You say, well, the Romans are in charge, they're Latin. Yeah, but the whole world's writing and talking in Greek, including the Romans. But, and here's the thing that he writes, and it's the word that is very, very important for us. He says, Timothy, I want you to understand about this. He said, you're constantly nourished. Some of your translations say nourished. Some of your translations say trained. Watch this. Literally, the translation I just read says, so you're constantly nourished in the word, in sound doctrine. Some of your translations say, you, Timothy, were trained in the word, in sound doctrine. Now watch this, I want you to see this. I want you to see this word, again, I don't get caught off in a ton, but I want you to see this Greek word called entrepho. It's literally entrepho. And the reason why I want you to see it is because it literally means to nourish and to train. It doesn't separate the two, it holds them together. I've been down at LSU and was down there and saw their whole facilities and their weightlifting and all their training facilities. And it's like, wow, it's amazing. Any D1 sports program, their facilities are just stupid. But one of the things that you'll notice, I noticed that everywhere they went, we saw it every place we went. Oklahoma has it. Everybody has it. And you have a strength and conditioning. You have your football coaches. Now you have managers. Now you have, I mean, now you've got recruiting and all these other stuff. But I'm telling you, a large staff is for nourishment. That these people are for diet and nutrition. Every time I saw, the LSU guys were working out. And as soon as they got through and they walked over, there were part of the nutrition team, diet nutrition team, handing them a smoothie with protein. Boom. Whenever they're coming off running, here's some for electrolytes. Every time they go eat, they have a smorgasbord of food that has been very specifically planned out for them according to their workouts and all that they had going on that day. They had calorie counts and everything. There's a team at a D1 program that their entire job is to make sure how many calories you eat. Isn't that crazy? Here's the whole point. They understand the word entrepo. They understand that you can't separate nourishment from training. They go hand in hand. Because if you're going to train properly, you better have the proper fuel. That's what entrepho talks about. Entrepho literally is this idea that whether you're talking about nourishment and training, Timothy, Paul is saying, young Timothy, your training, your entrepho, and your diet and your nutrition is literally the word of God. That what you're understanding is you think I'm just reading the Bible. No, you take the sound doctrine, the words, and understand that that is your training, your discipleship. That is what trains you and grows you. But also understand it's the nourishment that you need. It's your entrepho. Isn't that cool? It's the picture that he's given us there. It's a full diet. The word of God is literally our nourishment that trains us up. If you heard that, say amen. I'm gonna say this, and I've said it 100 times till you make it 101. I believe in repetition, 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 repetition. No, I'm kidding. Listen, you show me where you are daily committed to this, studying it, reading it, knowing it, sharing it, this book. We don't worship it. We worship the one the book reveals. But you show me your commitment to this and studying it, reading it, knowing it, and I'll tell you where you are in your walk. I'm not saying that arrogant. Oh, that's not right. You don't get to judge me. Judge not lest you be judged. Listen, get over that. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. If you'll make a commitment to this, you'll grow in the grace and knowledge like you can't even imagine. Listen to this. Because why? It's your intrepho. It's your nourishment. It's your training. So with that in mind, let me say a couple things to you. The word of God must be a huge part of our lives to know God and to know our purpose. Let me say it like this. Knowing and studying the word of God will help keep your priorities straight. Listen to this. I believe you've got to study the word of God to know God. This book is not a book about you. It's a book about God. And as I study the word of God, guess who it's going to reveal? God. And as I study the word of God, it's going to reveal to me God. It's going to help me know him. I'm going to memorize the word to stay close to God. You with me? I'm literally, that as I memorize it, it's a lost art in some of our lives. We think it's just for kids. Listen, it's how I know him. It's how I stay close to him. It's how he uses me in a lot of ways. I was talking with someone recently and they were talking about living paycheck to paycheck and how difficult that is. And they're just struggling financially and all these other things. And they just looked at me and they were like waiting for some advice, waiting for some counsel, waiting for something. And I just looked at them and I said, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg for bread. And they looked at me and went, and I said, I'm yeah. Well, what do you think we should do? I said, you know, I know that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think or imagine according to the power of God that works within you. And they're just looking at me like, this is great. And I'm like, no, it's the word. It's the word of God. You see, that's as I memorize it and as I take it and it when I memorize it, it sets here and it oozes down to here. Do y'all like my oozing look? It's oozing down to here. That's what happens when I memorize it. So the word, memorize it, helps me stay close to God. And listen to this. Then to live the word means that I'm going to walk in his purpose, in God's purpose. Did you hear that? I study to know God. I memorize to stay close to God. And then I live the word to walk with God and in his purpose. It's when I live it that I now am doing it, right? My life verse is James 1:22. That I'm not just a hearer of the word, because you know what a hearer of the word is? A hearer of the word, if you go on and read that and study that text, is someone that walks up in the mirror and says, ha ha, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty amazing. And we don't look at all the warts and the flaws and everything else. And we walk away from it and we lie to ourselves going, man, I look good. When in reality, the Bible is letting us know that if you are only listening to the word of God, you're just fooling yourself. You're not fooling anybody else. Man, you're conning and deceiving yourself. You shouldn't be just a hearer of the word, but a what of the word? A doer. And so it's doing the word of God. So I love the challenge there. I love him saying to young Timothy, you don't get your priorities straight. You want to know God's plan and purpose for your life. And by the way, let me just say this parenthetically. You know why the purpose, God's purpose and plan for your life is so important? Because it's your sweet spot. You are never a better you than when you are slap dab in the middle of God's plan and purpose for your life. Woo! I'm going to do an invitation to go home, y'all. This is good. Don't get your hopes up. Hang on. We still got a long ways to go. Look, I'm not kidding. You are the best you. And some of you, I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you. You're your best you when you're right slab in the middle of God's purpose and plan for your life. And one of the ways we get there is by keeping our priorities straight. And making the word of God a priority in your life is critical. And that's what Paul is reminding young Timothy. Timothy, you stay in the word. And then he says, conversely, I want to warn you, don't fall for old worldly tales that old women fall for. Now, don't be offended. First, I was writing the study this week and I thought, well, first of all, nobody is going to raise their hand and say, he's talking to me, because nobody's going to claim to be an old woman. Amen? Amen. So literally what he's saying there is that it's wives' tales. That was a saying back there. It's like, you know, it's a wives' tale, right? I mean, you know, taking a penny and putting it in a Ziploc bag and hanging above your door will keep flies away. Amen? Anybody know that to be true? Yeah, you walk to some people's doors and there's like a Ziploc bag with water and a penny. You're like, keeps flies away. Well, does it? I don't know. It's in a wives' tale, right? Some of you guys go home and research that and look it up. No, I've never heard that until I moved here. Somebody showed me that. But it's in a wives' tale, right? I mean, there's different things that, is it true? Well, we've presented it. And what Paul is saying to Timothy, don't follow the world's advice, because compared to God's word, it's just all wives' tales. I want to remind you of a couple of things about God, about the world's wisdoms. Things in the world that the world tries to sell us as truth, but are just lies. The world tries to sell us as wisdom, but it's not wise. And by the way, parenthetically, most of what the world is trying to sell us is not wise compared to the word of God. It's not going to help you keep your priorities straight. Why is that? Well, listen to this. The world is at odds with God. If you don't get that, then I hope you get that this morning. The world's ideas and ways and principles and truths, for the most part, are in opposition to God. The world is not our home. This isn't home. You don't have home field advantage. As a matter of fact, you're the away team here as a Christian. You don't have, the world has home field advantage here. The world is not our home. The world's ways are not our ways. We don't have the same principles, the same factors. You want to get your priorities straight? Well, start, Timothy. Focus on the word and quit following the worldly wisdom that's in contrast to me. Your purpose and your priorities will get off when you follow the world. It'll get off track. It'll get off direction. It'll get lost. You with me? Let me give you a few examples. Can I do that, please? Example number one is the world's wisdom on the family, okay? You think about what the world tells us about the family. The world tells us that, you know what marriage is? Marriage is about you. That's a lie. Amen? Guys, amen? I'm trying to get you in. With the world, it's about you. It's about your happiness, you finding your soulmate, you finding someone who fulfills you, right? That's what the world says. Y'all, that's the dumbest stuff ever. Don't put that kind of pressure on my, darling, your job's to fulfill me and to make me happy. And she can't, man, it ain't gonna happen. And the sooner that I learn that what the world says about marriage, that it's about me, listen, what does God say about, you know what the purpose, you know why God made marriage? I'm gonna tell you why God made marriage. Look up here. I'm gonna teach you real simple. You ready? Number one was to procreate. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number two, it was to glorify him. Because he's going to know, his son is gonna come and die on a cross and redeem a lost group of people, which are anybody, whosoever will come, those who do become a part of what is going to be called the church, and that it's going, that church, the saved, the redeemed, are going to be presented to the Lord Jesus one day as the groom, and we're going to be presented as the bride. My marriage, when I'm walking in the way that God intends for my marriage, then what I do is I show and I glorify Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his grace and his mercy and his love and his sacrifice. So the priority of marriage, according to the world, is it's about you. According to God, it ain't about you. Amen? So watch this. The world says, you know what, not only about the family, so here's the world's wisdom on family. Your marriage is about you. Lie. Look what God's word says. Number two, I think about what the world says about the family and kids. And it says, if you look at the world and what it says and everything else, is that your kids are the most important thing in your family. And you know what I say about that? Don't do that to your kids. You're putting too much pressure on them. When your kids are the focus of everything about your family, You've put way too much pressure on them. That doesn't mean they're not important. It doesn't mean that there aren't times that you don't prioritize them. But I gotta tell you something. When you make your kids the center of the family and the most important thing, you are putting way too much pressure and stress on them. Number two, you're not teaching them the way that they should really be taught. Because what will really make your kids secure, listen to this, this is free advice I'm giving you right now, and I can prove it biblically. You wanna really set your kids up to succeed, you wanna really give them confidence in this world, you make sure you love their mama and daddy as the highest priority after you love Jesus. You with me? See, the world says, no, those kids are priority. I'm gonna tell you, do not do that. I mean, you love them and you care for them, but you gotta be careful. The best thing for kids is to not put too much pressure on them and make them the most important thing. The world's wisdom on family, the world's wisdom on happiness. The world's wisdom on happiness is what makes you happy. That's what matters most. It's about your happiness, what fulfills you, what gives you. Listen, the sooner you give up happiness and start pursuing joy, the freer you're gonna be in this life. I'm gonna tell you some things that are gonna set you free. You quit chasing happiness. Happiness is like a grease pig. Getting a hold of that sucker, I'm telling you, because sometimes, people are like, you're amazing, and sometimes they're not. They're like, oh, no, I'm happy. No, I'm not happy. Why? Everybody says I'm trash. Oh, but why were you happy yesterday? Because everybody said I was wonderful. It's about success or not success. See, when things externally affect my happiness, and we all do it, and it's okay because happiness is a part of it, but I got to tell you something, that's not what I'm pursuing. I'm ultimately pursuing and pursuing God, and the result of that is joy. Joy means it doesn't matter what comes my way. Joy means that, you know what? The world says this, the world says that, da 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 da, but you wanna know something? You know what I say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Man, it looks like the whole world's just coming down. Yeah, but you know what? It could be worse. The world be coming down, and I could be going to hell. I'm not. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That'll set you free. Whenever we talk about the world's wisdom in money and stuff, the world says, get what you can, keep what you can, right? It's all about yours and you and all this other stuff. Let me tell you something. The sooner you get this, the better off you're gonna be. God has called you to give and glorify him with all your stuff and money. I hope you get that. What the world's wisdom on life, the world says is truly important, and the world teaches us that it's all about self. It's all about you. You look at everything it is. Every advertisement, everything is about you and about finding you and you and you and you. And what the Bible teaches is completely contrary to that. It's not about you, it's about everyone else. Instead of being selfish, what God calls us to is to be selfless. You gotta empty you of you and say, you know what? I'm gonna quit focusing so much on myself. And y'all listen to this. The sooner you start doing that, it will set you free. I see, that's the second statement that set you free. When I was brand new in ministry, I was walking around having a pity party. I was at a church, and quite frankly, I was young man, I really was young. I was just been saved a few years, and somehow, some way, I got thrust into one of the largest student ministries in Oklahoma, and I'm walking around and had some, a couple of tough days in that. And I'm just walking around and I'm pouting. Now, you need to know this about your pastor, okay? I'm a professional pouter. When I'm pouting, everyone knows I'm pouting, okay? Because I've got the pouty face, and especially when I was younger, and I'm just walking around, pouting. And a very good friend of mine, he was a man that was mentoring me. He was a track coach at the University of Oklahoma. He had left that and was now like the area real high up with the FCA early on. He was one of the original FCA guys. Named Gary Lauer, and he had an office down in our church, gave him an office as he was leading FCA, and I went down and just sat in his chair and just literally plopped in his chair, and he's like, hey, big boy. He always called me big boy. Hey, big boy, what you doing? And I said, nothing. This is ministry, nobody appreciates, nobody likes, and just stupid, and these kids, if it weren't for parents just make me mad. And this guy just kept on, and just bam, 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 bam. And he just looked at me and said, hey, big boy. He always called me big boy, and I said, what? He goes, "Big boy, you ain't that important." I went, "No, I need you to tell me and empathize and sympathize with me." And he literally just looked at me and said, "Big boy, you ain't that important. See, you've made yourself so important because apparently everything that happens and the world's going to quit spinning if John Frame don't get it right. Big boy, you ain't that big of a deal." I walked out of there with my tail between my legs, but I got to tell you something. As it absorbed, it set me free. It set me free. Why? Because the priority of what God is teaching me and what God has shown me is it's not about me. Listen, it's not about me. Pastor, what do you think? The church isn't growing. The church isn't doing this. I'm doing, they talk to God, it's his. He set me free of that stuff, y'all. So we go on and we see this living for a greater purpose. We understand about, listen, to discipline yourself. Literally, think about the disciple. What's the word the disciple? It's to discipline. It's having a discipline. Not what the world says, but what the word of God says. You want to get your priorities straight? Don't listen to the world and its wisdom. Follow what God says. Or if you do follow the world's wisdom, which some of it's good, make sure it aligns with the word of God. Then verse 8, he comes along and it says, hey, you know what? Here's a good one. For your bodily discipline is only of a little profit. So it's saying, you know what? You should take care of you. God's given you a temple, right? Billy Weatherall taught me this so well so many years ago. You know, used to work it out, was about to be an athlete, and when they took that, I mean, God took that, I wasn't an athlete anymore. You know, then it's like, who does it matter? Then you realize, then it's like, oh, it's how you look. Then you get to the age where it's like, no, it's about how you feel. Being able to walk upstairs without doubling over, right? Being able to tie your shoes, that type of stuff. And one of the things, and again, I credit Billy with such a great influence in my life, of just being in shape, taking care of yourself. Y'all, we should do that. God has given us a temple. Let's take care of it, okay? And I'm telling you, there were many years where I couldn't stand up here and say that in front of y'all. I was too overweight. And I got to tell you, God convicted and spanked my rear on that. So there is a part of that that's important, but it's of little profit. You know what is of significant profit? Is disciplining yourself spiritually. It's by literally understanding that you've got to take control of some things in your life. And just like you do in your physical, you've got to do that spiritually. You got to work out spiritually. You got to diet spiritually. You got to make sure you're taking care of yourself spiritually. So you want to get your priorities straight? Then understand the word of God, following the word of God, not the worldly fables. Understand that it's going to take some discipline to keep your priorities straight, some serious spiritual disciplines. So many years ago, again, I'm just reliving my old days. It was in the 90s, I was asked to speak to Putnam City Original. There's several Putnam City schools in Oklahoma, big schools, big community. They're not even a city or a town, they're just a school district called Putnam City. And it's in Oklahoma City, but they have three schools and Putnam City Original. They asked me to come speak to their entire student body one time for no other reason than I think they just needed to do an assembly, and so I got to go to it. And so I was talking to the principal, and they said, hey, you know what? Just talk to these kids. Never forget him saying, you know, let's talk to them about the importance of prioritizing your life. I said, you mean priority? He goes, yeah, talk to them about priorities. I said, I gotcha. And I remember talking to them about their priorities, and I literally got up, and the reason why I tell you this is I remember kids lined up as I stepped off stage just wanting to say, going, hey, can you say that again? I've never heard that. And I'm like, you've never heard setting your priorities? So I'm not assuming you're them, but I want to just speak real clearly about my priorities. And maybe this will help you set your priorities. Because again, if you're going to know God's purpose and stay in God's purpose, you better get your priorities straight. Amen? So let me give you mine. First of all, I have my priorities in life. These are non-negotiable. Non-negotiable for me. I will not bend or negotiate on these. You ready? Here are my priorities. Number one is my God. He's first in my life. Nobody else gets to come in a close second. He's it. Number two is my family. They're number two. Number three is my work. He said, is that it? No, it's that simple. That's my priorities in life. I'm real simple. I love this church. I mean, y'all come here and you tell me I'm a member of Cypress. This thing is my life. I mean, I'm obsessed and consumed with this place. And y'all, I told you, you don't have any idea how obsessed I am with you. But you're not more than my family. And you're certainly not above my God. Whenever the search committee came and 18 years ago and tracked me down, and I think y'all had to get desperate enough to call me. And like, I don't know, it's so bad. We've waited so long, go to Oklahoma and find somebody, you know. And whenever I talked to the committee and we started getting serious, I said, well, you need to know this about me. It's a non-negotiable. And I said, I will never, ever, ever put that church or my work ahead of my family. And they just smiled real big. I never forget Karen, Jenny, and all the team. They just smiled and they said, you're the kind of pastor we're looking for. I went, okay, awesome, good. We're connecting, because I won't. Why? Because that's a priority in my life. Here's a priority in my family. I'm going to give you my priorities. You take them or leave them. Priorities in my family. I'm going to love my wife the way Christ wants me to. See, that's priority number one. My kids knew that while we were spending a lot of time with our kids, running them all over the place, and one day, trust me, you're going to miss Carline. Well, maybe not Carline. You're going to miss going to practice and sports and everything. Carline, no. But maybe you're going to miss that. I actually miss Carline, because there was some great time I had just one-on-one with my kids. But there are times that my kids took more time than the, you know, and that's just a fact. But they were never a priority over my marriage. My kids knew that. They never thought, well, Dad loves us more. They never thought that. They knew. It was known because of my love, my words, my time, all of those things. So first priority was to love my wife the way Christ wants me to. Second priority was to raise my kids in the fear and love of the Lord. That was priority number two. You know what was important to me, but was way down my priority list, was that I had a good relationship with my kids. I wanted them to like me. I wanted them to go fishing with me or hang out with me or hunting with me or want to just be around Dad. But you know what? That didn't prioritize over, no, I'm going to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. My kids, we didn't discuss and negotiate about coming to church. We never did. It never happened. They knew they were coming. Why? Well, yeah, because they're preacher kids. They had to. No, that's not true. No, they came because they had to, because it was a priority. I was going to love my wife. I was going to raise my kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's my priorities. I'm going to provide for my family. That's a priority. Amen? Amen? I hear young people all the time. Young people hear this. I want you to hear me say this. I hope you find a job that is so fulfilling that, you know, if you find what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I hope each one of you get there. But let me tell you what's very rewarding and very, very fulfilling. Getting a paycheck. It conversely, not getting a paycheck. Amen? And staying at your parents too long. No, I'm kidding. I hear people, oh, it just doesn't fulfill me. It just doesn't make me happy. You know what will make you happy? It's providing a meal and a roof over your family. I hope you all find what just fulfills your hearts. But let me tell you what your priority is. Instead of being fulfilled by a job, it's to provide for your family. In my life, it is. Now, it just so happens I get to do what I'm called to do, and it's awesome. I look all the time and say, I can't believe y'all pay me to do this, although don't quit paying me, because I need to provide for my family. Priority of my family is to love my wife, raise my kids, provide for my family, and protect my family. I believe God has called me to protect them. Does that mean, oh, Pastor, what are you, somebody come at your house, you got, well, don't come and find out. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God has assigned me as the spiritual leader of my home, and any evil, spiritual or physical, that wants to approach or harm my family has got to come through me first. I stand at the gate. I stand at the ready. Spiritually, the darts of the demon, they're not coming in. I'm going to stand guard because God has called me. It's a priority to protect my family. I got to hurry. Oh, goodness. I'm going to priorities in my family, priorities in my money. Don't tune me out. I'm going to have my money and not let my money have me. That's good right there. Tithing is a non-negotiable. It's at the top of our list. I'm not saying that as the preacher. I'm saying as a new Christian in 1991, and it's bad English, I am not giving up 10% of my hard-earned paycheck to the church. I'll give them a 20 in the offering plate. I'm going to tip God. Amen? Sorry. My wife taught me about the priority of tithing. She did, a man named Gary Miller. Taught me about why it's so important. That truly, if I'm going to have my money and my money not have me, it's going to start by understanding that everything that I have is God's. And then my reminder, you know what my profession of that is? You know what my worship is in God? And acknowledging everything I have is from you, of you, by you, and for you, is that I'm going to slide in my first 10%, my first fruits. As a worship and a sacrifice to say, everything I have is from you, God. I'm going to tithe, it's a priority. I'm going to save. And how many preachers are going to tell you this? But save. Invest. Number three in priorities of my money, I'm going to glorify the Lord in my spending. If my wife and I, we learned early because we were bad. We'd get in the mail these from Chase, whoever this Chase guy is, and others that say, you have a credit limit. And you're like, awesome. That means I got free money at 20% interest rate. Let me tell you something. Young people, do not go in debt. Don't go into debt. You're going to have to for certain things, your house, different things. But listen, you better understand if you can't afford it, don't get it. You don't need it right now. That TV you're watching is just fine. Glorify the Lord in your spending. Glorify the Lord in providing for your family. Real quick, priorities in your Christian walk. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love people. I'm going to share Jesus. Y'all, I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to. And so just stay with me. Holly and I were working, she was working on something for me, and then she got up and she left, and so I was sitting in her chair at her desk, and it's a really comfortable chair, and I was teasing her like, man, I wish I could get a comfortable chair like this. And about that time, her phone rang, and she's like, you can't sit in that chair. And I'm like, oh, watch. And I grabbed the phone, and I'm like, Holly's desk. Y'all, dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. There's a man on the other line that just randomly, well, he didn't random, but he called and was chewing me out, calling me everything. Pastor John, and he was just calling me everything but a good person. And because of his, we've come to find out he's from Colorado, and he assumed some things about us politically and just started saying some, just wearing me out. And I listened, and Holly's sitting back going, answer my phone, will you, big boy? And I'm telling you, this guy was, I hope he's watching. God bless you. And I just went on, listen. Then I finally said, sir, I don't even go into what all he talked about. It was just awful. But I finally said, sir, you called here and you got some things to say. Now it's my turn. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Trump hater, Trump supporter, liberal or conservative, none of that matters. What matters is what you do with Jesus. Ooh, that you right-wing evangelicals, y'all, that's just stupid. That's what's wrong with the world, is y'all think that's true. And I said, sir, one day you're going to kneel and you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I hope it's not too late for you. My prayer is, and I went right into the gospel, right into salvation, went right into that. Now, what I wanted to do, I'm a grown man. Where I come from, grown men don't talk to grown men like that. You talk to me like that? Oh, I got some words for you too. And if nothing else, watch this. I'll hang up on you. But you know why I share Jesus with him? Because that's a priority in my life. Oh, because you're the preacher. Nope. Long before I was the preacher. That's a priority in my life. I'm going to love God, love people, share Jesus. The word of God is not negotiable in my life. I understand how important it is. It's my, and what's the word? Trefo, remember? There you go. I'm going to have, prayer's a big deal and church is a big deal. Paul would write Timothy, why? Because I want you to set your mind on the things above, Timothy, and not on the things of this earth. You see that? Since it holds promise for the present life, but also, more importantly, for the life to come, Timothy. Get your priorities straight. It's a trustworthy statement to pursue godliness. That's what he closes with. Real quick, I have to close like this, okay? Because I want you to see how important this is. Nick Saban football. They say when you do a sports analogy, you lose a lot of your crowd. Not in the SEC world. Because Nick Saban, doesn't matter if you care about football, hate football, or love football. Everybody knows who Nick Saban is. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest college coach. I mean, you can't argue. I mean, he just is, right? Now, it's not something I like, but it is. He's the greatest. One of the things you may not know is that one of the fastest growing sports, you say, is, women's volleyball is a big deal? But you know what's growing even faster than women's volleyball? That's one of the most, they have now a professional league. Their TV rights are now going through the roof. It's women's softball. I cannot wait for the Women's World Series every year. It's awesome. And y'all, there's a lady at the University of Oklahoma. No, I'm serious. That is really, everybody says she's the Nick Saban of women's college softball. Her name's Patty Gasso. She wins after wins after wins after wins. She's amazing. They asked her after she had won several championships. They had asked her, I want to make sure I get my quote just exact. They had asked her about her winning championships and all this stuff. And she was very forward. She'd already won several. And they'd asked her how wonderful, isn't that amazing, isn't it great, and all this other stuff. And she literally looked at them and she just said, no, the stress and the purpose of just winning is not very fulfilling. And quite frankly, it'll make you miserable. And they looked at her like, but you're winning championships. It makes you miserable. And she goes on and was telling a story how her pastor challenged her, just sensing she was struggling. In the off season, instead of doing some other things, she went on a mission trip. She went to Central America, served homeless people, did a medical clinic. And she went on to say this in this press conference, and she's said it many times. She went on to say that her priorities are not now, not even close to the top, are not winning and winning championships, but to build champions in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said it set her free. And she said, and by the way, we're winning more championships than we ever are. I think she has found her sweet spot. I think she's found her purpose and her sweet spot. The best her she could be is right slab middle in God's will for her life and plan. It starts by getting your priorities straight. Amen? Y'all, come on. Get your priorities straight.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you are encouraged by this message. To find out more about how you can give your life to Christ, text the word Jesus to 54868. To find out more about our ministries, or if you're interested in joining our church, visit cypress.live.